You know that moment when you're doing the readings and preparing for an address or an exhort, and sometimes that word or sentence seems to leap out of the pages at you and you dwell on it for a while? Well, this happened to us recently, and I want to share with you some thoughts about a word that we came across, and it's translated in this way just once. And it appears in this way just once in the whole of the Authorized Version. We find this one word in the New Testament. In fact, we read it in Mark 6, which is why I'm talking about it. It appears in verse 31. And let's perhaps read it to give us some context. Verse 30 for connection. And you'll recall it's the time following the feeding of the 5,000, the apostles had clearly been working very hard in the truth, and they come to Jesus for an update meeting. Verse 30, and the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many comings and goings, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. So the word that we're going to think about and dwell on as a theme for our exhort this morning means, according to the online dictionary, it means free time, time at one's own disposal, an opportunity to do. And so by now you may have deduced that the word we're thinking about here is the word leisure. So then, what do we do with our free time? Well, we've got at our disposal during each and every week 168 hours. I know this is going to be a long, worn path and spoken of often, but I think one that's worth revisiting from time to time, and one that I'd quite like to do this morning. So we looked at an average week and broke down how those 168 hours might look. Assuming we get 8 hours a night's sleep, we spend 56 of those asleep. We spend about 50 of those at work and at travelling, assuming we work 10 hours a day for 5 days. We have about 15 hours eating and domestic chores, 10 hours relaxation and family time, 8 hours at the meeting or at the exhort or the lecture or Bible class, 3 hours maybe doing the daily readings, an hour in prayer, perhaps. Well, that totals up at about 143 hours, which in total leaves 25 hours unaccounted for. Even if you said 20 hours, that's quite generous. And I know all our lives are different, and some of this excess time is going to be taken up by other demands of life. But we could ask, how do we spend this free time, this leisure time? Those of us who have employment might spend some of this time working overtime, perhaps studying for professional qualifications, doing some DIY, tending the garden, perhaps washing the car, studying the scriptures in prep for an address, playing, making music, which is popular in our house, relaxation in front of the telly, maybe reading the paper, perhaps going to the gym, walking the dog, or just generally enjoying the countryside. There's a plethora of things that we all get up to in our spare time, isn't it? But when all that is done, I've no doubt that, like me, you all have some time left in the day which could be called free time, leisure time. So then, brothers and sisters, we do have an order of priority in our life, don't we? And I think in general there are just three things that are priority: our work, our faith, and our family. And sometimes we struggle to get them in what we think is the right order. And I know the order changes frequently, but for us, we have behind these three basics those things that we need in order to keep our sword sharp. Those things are the memorial meetings, the Bible classes, preaching efforts, fraternal gatherings. These are the basic and essential and pleasurable things that we do for the truth. So having then put God first and then do all the other essential things that we do in this life, we've got our own time, the me time, our leisure time. We know what our colleagues at work do in their leisure time. Mondays are buzzing with whatever everybody got up to at the weekend. One of my old colleagues was an avid footy fan, and he follows his club everywhere, even overseas. And he seems to know the game inside out. He also plays for an amateur side on a Sunday. Evenings are spent down the local with his friends, either celebrating or commiserating their latest win or loss. Another colleague is a motoring enthusiast. He has a two-seated sports car, a Caterham 7. He spends his free time with other like-minded owners, travelling to rallies around the country, and he maintains their website. Another colleague has a caravan. Most weekends she and her partner will visit a different site, holidays taken in Europe, and the van, of course. Another is a sailor. He spends his time maintaining his boat and sailing off around the south coast. Another belongs to an amateur dramatic society, acts parts in plays and pantomimes. Another bought a summer home in Wales, spending every spare moment doing the property up. Some of my colleagues enjoy music, classical, jazz, rock and pop. They spend their free time travelling to concerts and music festivals around the country, or visiting clubs and pubs where their favourite band is playing. So most of my colleagues would have some hobby or activity which fills their time away from the office. And we also might have an interest in some of these. But we ask, to what extent? Possibly not to the extent that any of my colleagues, and certainly not enough to fill all of our free time. We know what the world around us does is an enticing, but also quite a dangerous place. And we know the scriptures tell us that by necessity we are in it, but warns us to be not of it. And we have to be very aware of where we should draw the line of our conscience. So looking around the world around us, in general, we only need to hear or look at the latest news report to find out how some folk spend their free time. Our reading from Psalm 73, in that wonderful parable of the sower, gives us a great summary as to what can happen to us if we allow the world to creep into our lives. Psalmist says there, verse 16, "And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, they immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure it but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth, for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful." Well, I don't think any of this is for us. I've heard it said that I've met some really great people in a pub or a club. Well, is that good or is that not? Our business life may be, it might be good for, but surely not for our personal life. No matter how good these people might be, they are not in the truth, and generally we will not have any of our common hopes or objectives in life. I speak from experience here. If the conversation turns to religion and the hope we are holding so close to our hearts, a superficial polite interest will be shown, and then the subject changed at the first opportunity. Well, flicking back to our verse in Mark, it explains that Jesus and his band of faithful followers had no time to rest, no opportunity to be amongst themselves, to refresh themselves. Why? Well, of course, the multitude of 5,000 folk were there, and we read in verse 31 that there were many comings and goings. And Jesus was probably on his own at the time, and it would appear from the narrative that the disciples had just heard of the death of John the Baptist, because verse 29 indicates that. And it may well have taken some time to obtain spices and clothes to arrange the body of John the Baptist in, and then to find a tomb. I've no doubt that this would have been a very sad and a very distressing time for the disciples. They were busy in what is described here as the Lord's work, and therefore had no leisure, no opportunity so much as to eat. Mark, interestingly, is the only gospel record which records the reason as to why this was so. So then, brethren and sisters, we ask again, what do we do with our leisure time, our spare time? Well, in the Acts of the Apostles, we're given a great example of how not to use our leisure time, and the same original word is used here. So let's turn over to Acts 17. It's well known to all of us. And here Paul has been taken to Mars Hill in Athens in Greece by the philosophers, Grecians and Stoics. So Acts 17, verses 19 and 21. And they took him and brought him to Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, that what these things mean." For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Well, the relevant phrase for us here is verse 21, spent their time, it says there. In the margin of the RV Bible, we read, had no leisure for. And according to Strong's Concordance, the original Greek word is exactly the same. These Greek philosophers then spent all their free time, their leisure time, in nothing else to tell or hear some new thing. Surely this isn't the way we should be spending our free time, is it? In order to be more Christ-like, which is what we want to be, isn't it? We know that we should follow his example and to use our leisure time to our advantage, which is, of course, why we are here this morning. Let's have a look at another example of how the original word is translated in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 16. Here the apostle is exhorting Apollos to go to the Corinthian ecclesia. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 12. "As touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren, but his will was not at all to come at this time, but he will come when he shall have convenient time." To the phrase, "when he shall have convenient time," the Greek translation reads, "when he shall have opportunity." So the word leisure can also mean convenience or opportunity. Well, surely the lesson for us is to use our leisure time or our free time in a way that is convenient to us individually, or to have the opportunity to put this time to good use in the Lord's service. So with that in mind, let's just have a quick look at how some of those faithful characters of Scripture spent their leisure or free time. What of Isaac in Genesis 24? It was evening time and he had some leisure time available. He had an opportunity to do what he wanted to do. And we're told in verse 63 of Genesis 24 exactly what he did in his spare time. I'll read it to you. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw and beheld the camels were coming. Yes, he meditated in his spare time. Yes, the camels were coming with his future wife, Rebecca. In the margin here, we note the alternative phrase, Isaac went out to pray. So in the quietness and solitude of the field, Isaac prayed to God. And perhaps we could think for a moment what he might have been praying for. Perhaps it was to ask for a blessing on Rebecca's journey, and even maybe that she would eventually become his wife, because it wasn't a dead cert. Well, whatever it was, such was Isaac's character that his leisure time was spent in prayer to God. We remember too that Daniel found time to pray to God at least three times a day, even when we know what an evil man had conspired against him. He must have set aside time into his undoubtedly busy daily schedule for this task. This became an absolute priority in his life. He focused on it and he made his own time available for it. What about Jesus? How did he spend his leisure time or free time, if indeed he had any? Well, we've just started reading Mark this week. Mark 1, verse 32 and 34. And at even when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and to them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door. And he, Jesus, healed many that were sick of diverse diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. There was no leisure time for Jesus in the evening. No, he was busy, very busy, preaching the gospel and healing the sick. He therefore had to make time. He had to make an opportunity to have his own free time. So what did he do? Well, if we read on to verse 35, it tells us, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed. Yes, as we might expect, Jesus had no opportunity to have a quiet minute or leisure time for himself during the day. If it wasn't his disciples wanting to learn from him, or his followers wanting to see some miracle or listen to a parable, it was the scribes and the Pharisees wanting to argue with him. He had to make his own time by getting up early in the morning before anybody else was out and about, sacrificing his sleeping time to speak with his Father on his own, in private, in his own time, his own free leisure time. We're told he did this several times, and in Matthew 14 and 23 we read, and when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain to pray. And when the evening was come, he was alone. Jesus, alone in prayer with his Father, in a moment of quiet contemplation, he could converse with him and receive strength and comfort from him. On another occasion, before he chose the apostles, Luke records in chapter 6 and verse 12, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Well, how many of us can say that we've spent all night in a state of prayer to God? Maybe in a particularly stressful or worrying time in our life, we may well have spent our time in this way, but I'd venture to suggest it's not something we would do on a regular basis. But with Jesus, in his short life, we've got several recorded instances of him being in prayer in his leisure time, when the daytime work was done, when he was alone and apart from his disciples, in the quietness of a place where he knew he wouldn't be disturbed, often in the heights of a mountain. So then, perhaps we could take a lesson or two away from this. In our spare time, in our free time, our leisure time, we can also devote our time to God. But is there anything else we can do apart from spending more time in prayer? Well, of course there is. Paul exhorted in 1 Timothy 3 and 15 to study to show thyself proved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Perhaps we could tag this on to the end of the time we spend doing the readings each day. We should also not ignore the fact that the preparation of exhortations, Bible classes and lecture talks require quite prayerful study in our own time, and that these are for our own eternal good. Well, I think our life in the truth leaves precious little time for doing those things that our colleagues at work or our neighbours indulge in. These things are, of course, tempting for us to get involved with, but we know really that they are of no real profit and they're not going to prepare us well for the kingdom. The things that will prepare us well for the kingdom are, of course, prayer and the study of God's word. These things will lead us, in God's mercy, to eternal life. David, the psalmist of Israel, he totally endorses this. As a young man, he looked after his father's sheep. He would have had plenty of leisure time after seeing that the flock were in order. And we could imagine him spending his spare time, his leisure time, practicing throwing stones with his sling. This practice would help him achieve a high level of accuracy. He may well have worked out keeping fit to protect the flock from being attacked by predators. Well, how on earth did David have time to write the bulk of the Psalms? Psalm 1 opens with that blessed or happy man. Delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Well, isn't this profitable spare time or leisure time? He mentioned in the next verse how this will bring its own rewards. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. But there follows a solitary warning for the ungodly, and the psalm finishes with a summary. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Our delight must therefore be in God's word, and this is the very foundation of the river of life. And if we feed liberally from its source, then the thing that we strive for, the ultimate gift that we strive for, eternal life in God's kingdom, is going to be ours when the one that we're going to remember this morning returns to this earth. Surely this is the way to use our spare time, isn't it? Our leisure time. I've got just one final thought before we close. Did you notice that I read verse 3 of hymn 268 we sang just now? Only be still and wait his leisure, we sang. God's leisure. Interesting. Does God have leisure time? Well, of course not. Our Heavenly Father neither slumbers nor sleeps, we're told, and everything in the universe continues at his divine will. We've seen that the word leisure means opportunity. So we await God's opportunity, the day that he has set to send his son back to the earth in order to realize the hope that he's given us in his message of the scriptures. So then, as we partake of the emblems symbolizing his death and his resurrection, let us remember that the whole of his life, including his spare time, his leisure time, was given to his Father. May we endeavour to follow that perfect example and partake of these emblems to our commendation.